The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. That was, again, Ozzy Osbourne. Probably the song that was the birth of heavy metal rock and roll, which is funny because if you listen to it, like I said, it's not really what you'd think of. It's got about love in it and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, when I picked the song a few weeks ago, I really didn't have any idea how relevant it would become. Just watching what this orange man is doing is just unbelievable to me. And if you don't care, well, then I guess you don't care. When you have a president that's saying, oh, I don't have to listen to the courts. Well, if he doesn't have to listen to the courts, then who does he have to listen to? Nobody? Well, that's good, because he's an intelligent, stable genius for sure. And here's what I love about the Republican Party is they are the biggest bunch of butt kissers I've ever seen in my life. So hypocritical, it's sick. You remember the whole Me Too thing, the woke, all that, when Al Franken, a Democrat, had a picture of him not even touching the sleeping female soldier, but he had his hand over her breast like he was going to grab it. He quit immediately. And nobody defended him. Nobody said it was okay. Nobody said, oh, well, they did it. And that's what the Republicans do. You know, when I have an argument with my wife, and she says, well, you did this. And I say, well, you did this. Well, that really goes over well. Any out there married knows that that's not a good one. Leave it out of your repertoire of responses when your spouse is mad at you. Because two wrongs don't make a right. And I only bring it up because of this texting of our battle plans, not just battle plans, but like weapons, order of attack, you know, little things that all those terrorists would have liked to have known. And then they could have gotten out of Dodge. I don't know if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's probably because you're watching Fox News. But listen to these people go on the air and say, oh, now the Democrats are complaining about who's on a text string. Remember when Joe Biden had all those files? Really? Oh, okay. So Joe Biden did something wrong, so that means what this happened here is also okay? No, it's not. But that's how they roll. It's like, well, you know, yeah, well, you did something wrong too. Okay, well, that excuses it. It just drives me nuts. And I cannot wait for the midterm elections. All you people that voted for this moron thinking he's going to help you are now figuring out, no, he's not going to help you. Step one is, oh, get rid of everybody who monitors and regulates any of his businesses or any of his buddy's businesses, like his buddy Elon Musk. Yeah, get rid of all of the oversight of those so you can do whatever you want. I mean, he's making money hand over fist. Had a photo shoot at the White House with a Tesla? I mean, what the H-E double toothpicks? That's one, it's totally illegal. And speaking of illegal, anybody on that text string, Pete Hegseth needs to quit. I mean, that's called drunk texting there, you know, and I don't judge anybody for like to have a cocktail, but what in the, and how did this guy end up on the email address? That's what I'm curious about. Who punched that in? Surely they can figure out who did that. Most likely what happened is one of these people is in contact with the reporter who received, and let me back up just in case you don't know, a whole bunch of people, including the Secretary of Defense and a whole bunch of underlings underneath him, were texting back and forth on an unsecured app, not approved for government use, all these battle plans to strike the Houthis. You heard about that about a week ago. And somebody put a reporter from The Atlantic on there. And so he got all these texts and he thought they were joking. Until he woke up Wednesday morning and went, oh my God, they're not joking. So he knew all about it before it even happened. I mean, the only thing that saved us from bombing empty buildings is that this guy thought it was a joke, and he probably wouldn't have told anybody anyway because he's a patriot. Which, incidentally, just because you think your kid is being a rotten little turd doesn't mean you don't love him. You know, I love my kid. I'm not going to cut her an inch of slack. I love my country. I'm not going to cut it an inch of slack. You know, we have a lot of problems and we need to work on it. I'm not an American apologist, but yeah, we screw up on a lot of things. Anyway, I think I can move on to what we're going to talk about today, which is criminal law, a little bit of criminal procedure. I don't know if I've ever really brought that. I think I've tangentially touched on it, but I was looking at it today. I've been doing this show for like 5 years. I have no idea what I've talked to you all about. So And I doubt you all listen every single week. So if it's a rehash for you, I apologize. Hopefully I'll have something new. But if not, then we'll be right back after our first break to talking about criminal law and procedure.
Sugar Tooth on the Cedar Street Bridge is your one-stop shop for all your sweet needs. Find local chocolates made on-site using ethically sourced cocoa, international candy, drinks, and snacks from more than 10 countries. Sugar Tooth's homemade bestsellers, caramel apple, truffles, Bigfoot bars, and of course the classic pecan turtle. Sugar Tooth has also a variety of vegetarian and vegan-friendly options. Stop by Sugar Tooth's sweet shop on the Cedar Street Bridge. Open 7 days a week.
Colorectal cancer is one of the most common cancers in both men and women and is also one of the most preventable. Regular screenings starting at age 45 are important since most early colorectal cancers do not produce symptoms. The good news is that colorectal cancer is one of the most treatable cancers, especially when detected early. Kiniksu Community Health wants to make sure you don't forget your rear bumper protection. Schedule an appointment with your provider today and ask about your screening options. Learn more at kchni.org.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.com.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like frames, because you found a classic 70s concert poster. But when you went to get it framed, you realized the frame will cost about four times the amount of the poster, which is actually absurd because no one will be looking at the frame, and if they are, then you severely overestimated how cool this poster is. But then you remember by switching your home and auto to Progressive, you could save hundreds and put it towards a classic 70s concert poster in an absurdly overpriced frame. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is Chad from the Easy Home Buyer, and I pay cash for houses. Call me today at 208-877-6000. I buy houses in any price range and any location in the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene area and can get you your cash in as little as 1 week. Do you own a house that is vacant, in foreclosure, or needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Sell to us as is. You won't have to make any repairs, and there are no commissions, no fees, and we pay all the closing costs for you. Do you have a tenant living in your property? Not a problem. We buy houses with tenants in them all the time. Do you think your property will be difficult to sell? Easy. We provide assistance for any situation. We understand that life throws us curveballs, and we would love to see how we can help you. If you want to sell your house fast at a fair price, call me today at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
News Talk 97.1.
That's how it goes. Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I checked my email today, and I don't know, something's going on with my Gmail account. The last email I have was from a year and a half ago, so I'll work on that. If you're sending me an email and I'm not getting it, or if you have sent me an email in the last 6 months, send it to my normal email address, which is arthur@Beislein, my last name, BISTLINELAW.com, because I'd hate to think that somebody's actually asking me questions and I'm missing them. So anyway, now let's get on to criminal law. I want to start with the one. I mean, my very first show, I think I told everybody, no, possession is not 9/10 of the law. That's what everybody likes to say, and that's just out of nowhere. I mean, I guess if you mean it from the respect of if somebody has your property and you're going to go hire a lawyer to get it back, well, and you don't have the money, well, then I guess possession is 9/10 of the law, but it's not. So I want to start with the Miranda warnings. You've all heard of them. They're born out of the Fifth Amendment, the right to not self-incriminate yourself. President Trump used it a number of times, and so did a whole bunch of his other people that were working for him. Right after he gets done saying, oh, anybody who takes the Fifth is guilty of something. I mean, is this lost on you people, this tremendous hypocrisy? It's like they don't even remember what they said, or they just don't care because you apparently don't care. Anyway. Sorry, I thought I had it out of my system. So this Miranda warning, you know what they are. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be used against you, blah, blah, blah. If I had a nickel for every criminal client who's called me and said, well, they didn't Mirandize me. I said, well, did you tell them anything? No. Well, then who cares? I mean, a Miranda warning is not a prerequisite to a valid arrest. It's a prerequisite to using anything that that person says after you arrest them. A lack of a Miranda warning is not going to get, I had the last one was a guy who got out of his car, was so drunk he couldn't stand up and then vomited at the back of the car when they're trying to get him to stand up to do his field sobrieties. And he said, they didn't Mirandize me. And I said, wow, we're definitely going to win this case. Probably not. The Miranda warnings are what we refer to as part of criminal procedure. Criminal law is the law regarding crimes themselves. Like, what are the elements to prove murder? What are the elements to prove second degree murder, manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, rape, statutory rape? That's criminal law. Criminal procedure is everything that comes before and kind of during the trial, which is, you know, was there a search? Was the search valid? Did you violate the Fourth Amendment? Did you violate the Fifth Amendment? Do they have a Sixth Amendment right to counsel? All of that stuff, which is really the only somewhat complicated thing about criminal law, is criminal procedure. And yes, I have a bias. Criminal law is very, very, very simple compared to what I do. Granted, it's not simple when somebody's life's on the line or their liberty for the next 5 years. That part is not easy. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of pressure. But the law itself is pretty well established. So let's move on to one other part of criminal procedure, which is search and seizure. That implicates what we call the Fourth Amendment. And everything out of Fourth Amendment law starts with this idea that we have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And that idea comes from what I've said many times before is our founding fathers were not criminals. They did not have anything to hide, but they wrote something that said, you can't just poke around and look and say, well, if you don't have anything to hide, because we protect our privacy. That's where it comes from. Incidentally, just a little side note, that right of privacy is also what was behind Roe versus Wade before they threw it out the door. So if there's no reasonable expectation of privacy, do we even have a Fourth Amendment anymore? I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how that's going to work. I mean, it's, you know, you want a totalitarian, authoritarian state? Well, that's what you're going to get with a president who won't follow court orders and does whatever he wants and says, sue me. How many millions in dollars do you think we've already wasted on litigators like myself because of him just doing whatever he wants and saying, sue me? All those government lawyers that he has working for him on his nonsense are not doing other things. They're wasting your money. And I thought he was a fiscal conservative, you know, like I said, oh, put them all on a C-130. That's a lot cheaper than piling them onto a 747. All for show. And oh yeah. Anyway. Okay. Sorry. Got sidetracked. So what is a search? A search is an action by the state that violates somebody's reasonable expectation of privacy. So that's what a search is. And you must have an actual expectation of privacy. That's the subjective part of it, meaning I did expect to have privacy here, but then there's the objective part of it, which is it reasonable for you to think you have a right of privacy? For example, if you have a conversation in a public telephone booth when the door is open, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy, at least to your half of the conversation. If the door is closed, well, then you do. So it's as you can tell, criminal procedure is a little wishy-washy, mishy-mashy. It's very hard to pin down any what we would call a bright line rule in this stuff. I mean, here's a good example of that. Is if you want to enter somebody's house and you're not in what we call hot pursuit, meaning I watched him shoot two people and then run into this house. I'm not going to take the time to go get a warrant. I'm going to go get him out of there. That's an exception to the warrant requirement. Otherwise, you have to have a warrant to enter property. So then the question becomes, well, when do you enter somebody's property? And this is I learned this on a DUI case that I won, that if you walk into somebody's drive, the standard, and I'm not kidding, the standard on this is, so the officer followed my guy home from Eichardt's, and He should not have been driving. I mean, he blew like a .2. He was loaded. He was doing fine. I mean, he didn't break any. The cop had no reason to pull him over. He just had his officer's suspicion, which, you know, is totally valid. But we can't live with that as a standard, because, you know, you just can't. You got to have something to control what they do. Well, then he saw my guy parked in the driveway, and then this officer walked into the driveway and confronted him. Now, he's in the driveway, and he's not in his house, and he's out in public. I mean, is that entering his house? Well, yes, it was, because it was 1 a.m. And the standard, no kidding, is if a reasonable neighbor would do what the officer did, then it's not a warrantless entry. So if this whole thing had occurred at 3 p.m, well, then it wouldn't have been a warrantless entry, because your neighbor is going to walk into your driveway to say hello. Doesn't expect you're going to get mad about that or whatever you need to talk to him about. But if you walk up there at 1 a.m, they're going to be like, what are you doing in my driveway at 1 a.m? It literally is that is the standard. And we won that case, not at trial, but on the suppression of the breathalyzer results because of the warrantless entry. Mainly because the police officer was completely honest on the stand. And, you know, I called his boss and said, hey, you know, that is the kind of behavior we want. And I'm not telling you that police officers are dishonest on the stand. What we get a lot of is when they're up there is you ask them a question like, okay, what's your name? Well, I don't know. You know it. It's like, just answer the question, you know. So you gotta beat them around the head and neck to get them to just answer a yes or no question sometimes. But this guy didn't, and that's why we won. And, you know, I don't particularly think I'm not proud of getting somebody out on the street again who had a .20, you know, could have had a .20 excessive DUI, but I'm not defending him. I'm defending a system, and the system has rules, and the rules, I mean, a long time ago, we decided that it was better to have some crime and freedom than to have no crime and no freedom. I mean, go to a place like Singapore where you spit gum on the sidewalk and they cane you. Well, you started doing that, yeah, you'd have a lot of people behaving themselves. Nobody would much like it. I mean, shoot, in Texas, they even outlawed traffic cameras. I mean, even I am like, wait a minute, if you're blowing a red light, you're mad that somebody caught you doing it? It's like when they have leaks at the White House and they're mad about the leaks. Well, how about you explain what was leaked and why you did that? As opposed to complaining that somebody told me. It's like complaining you got overdrank. Well, maybe you should just say, well, maybe I shouldn't have got overdrank. Oh, hey, there's an idea. So that's what a search is. And another example, when you put your trash out, you have no expectation of privacy in that. Your numbers that you dial on your phone, that's called a pen register. I don't know if that still is applicable with cell phones. I mean, it's, I don't know. But you don't have any personal right. You don't have any expectation of privacy in that, so they can get that. A canine sniff, meaning that you get pulled over and they decide, well, pulled over in Idaho or in Sandpoint, especially for a lack of mud flaps, and you have Washington plates, so they just assume you're packing heavy with a bunch of weed, and they just delay you there long enough to get a dog in, and the dog smells the weed in your car. Well, that's not a search. Because they didn't do anything. They didn't search. The dog just sniffed. I don't know how I feel about that ruling, but aerial surveillance is not a search. On that same note, if you're using your drone for any purpose other than to just to have fun with it, well, then you're breaking the law, which is a silly law. So if I'm like trying to prove that you dammed a stream and I'm observing your property with my drone, which I did, that apparently is illegal. I think that was before they passed the law. Well, I'm sure it was. I would never break the law. So there's a lot of things that you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy in. And lately that would be how a woman handles her own body, apparently. All right, well, we're up on our next break. And then we're going to move on to warrantless searches. When the police can actually search you. And then after that we'll talk about what are not even considered searches. So this is Common Law. I am your host, Arthur Beislein, and we will be right back.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape to the woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. We can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
These days, figuring out what, where, and how to watch TV is out of control. And so is the cost. That's why I'm psyched I found Philo. Live TV from A&E, Discovery, MTV, and all the channels I love. A huge library of movies and shows, and an unlimited DVR to save them. I also get AMC Plus and all their blockbuster hits. All this for just $28 a month when you sign up at philo.tv. Give it a try, risk-free, at philo.tv.
How did you sleep last night? This is Jody for Sandpoint Furniture, and have I got a deal for you. Several of our Beautyrest Harmony mattresses are being replaced with a brand new collection, and that means we are selling our in-stock and floor model mattresses at drastically reduced pricing. The majority of these closeouts are queen size, but a few kings are still available. And yes, 12 months free financing on approved credit, and delivery is always available. So hurry into Sandpoint Furniture. These won't last long.
News Talk 97.1, KSBT, KBFI. Mental wounds, not healing. Life's a bit
going. Welcome back to Calm Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. We've been talking about criminal procedures so far. I forget how much information is in this topic, so I don't know if we're going to get to criminal law today. But most people are more interested in this anyway, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, that kind of thing. Before I forget, if anybody out there has any tips, my garden, I have raised beds, and ordinarily by mid-July, if I am not on top of my tomato plants, they've taken over two of them will take over an entire 9-foot by 4-foot raised bed. The last 3 years, they are just anemic. And I've amended the soil, I've done everything I can think of, tested the soil, and I just can't get tomatoes to do anything like they used to do. I don't know if anybody else has had that problem or if they have any ideas. I would appreciate it if you'd share it with me at my email. Let's go with Arthur@BeislineLaw.com if you have any tips on that. Now, we just talked about search, and I was going to talk about exceptions to the warrant requirement for a search, but I think we'll move on to arrest because that also implicates some search stuff. Now, when can officers arrest you? Well, if they have probable cause to think you committed a crime, and that's any crime, they don't have to arrest you. So, for example, if you're arresting people, taking them to jail, booking them and processing them for a minor marijuana violation, well, you're wasting our money. Just give them a citation. If they don't show up, then arrest them for failure to appear. A little twist on that, though, is in Idaho in 2023, which is a ruling that is just hard for me to understand, it said that, I don't know if it applies just to misdemeanors or felonies, but It said that unless the officers see you do it, they can't arrest you. So if somebody beats up their spouse and then spouse then calls the police and they show up at the door, all they can say is, well, give them a citation. They can't make them leave the house. They can't make them go anywhere. They can't separate them. They can't do any of that. And I don't think I need to state the obvious problems. Okay, so you got beat up, and then you called the police on the person who beat you up, and then they showed up and gave them a ticket, and then they left. What do you think is going to happen next? I'll give you a pretty good guess. Probably end up with somebody dead, most likely. So anyway, arrest. The reason I say it relates to searches, there are two things that can happen after a lawful arrest that are not considered searches, even though they are searches. And one is called basically a frisk of the person to, well, there's three actually. There's a frisk of the person for weapons, and then you can also search the entire interior of the car for weapons. And so, you know, and then the third one is called an inventory search. You know, well, we need to make sure that this person doesn't say there was $5,000 in the trunk that we took it, so we're going to inventory things. I mean, it's all just a subterfuge for another way to search without having to have probable cause to search. But that's what an arrest does. That's why you do not carry anything in your car that you don't want the police to see. Is because if you get pulled over for some minor thing, which is what they do, they'll figure out some minor charge, charge you, arrest you, then search your car, incident to arrest. Now, you can't arrest for everything, granted. If it's an infraction, they don't allow arrest. But anything else, yeah, they can. In Idaho, they can't unless they see you do it, which kind of throws all that analysis out the window because they police officers rarely see you break the law. I mean, unless you're speeding, for the most part, they have to rely on witnesses and other evidence. So I do not understand that ruling. All right, so beyond arrest, you have this other thing called stop and frisk, and that's from a case called Terry versus Ohio, 1968. And what that case was about was, do police officers need probable cause to just simply slow you down, stop you, and talk to you for a minute, and then frisk you? And, you know, so the Supreme Court was faced with one of two things, saying, you know, really lowering the standard of probable cause to allow this, or creating a whole separate animal called stop and frisk, which is what they did. Because, you know, that obviously police officers, a whole lot of what they get done is because the people talk to them. Which, going back to our Fourth Amendment discussion, if the police ask you if you they can search and then you say yes, well, any complaint you had about anything is out the window. Consent fixes everything for them. Generally, if you're in a situation like in a car or not at home, if they're asking you for consent, well, probably means they don't have probable cause. Now, at your house, they might be asking you for consent to save the time of having to go see a magistrate and get a warrant and all that stuff. But if they're asking you in your car or somewhere else, generally, they probably don't have probable cause. They like to ask you to present your ID. You can tell them to take a long walk off a short pier. This isn't Russia. You don't have to carry your papers with you wherever you go. And actually, I think my dad once was perhaps carousing down at the old garden when it was still here and maybe had a couple of few martinis, and then some police officer said he was going to arrest him, and then he said he wasn't going to. Then my dad insisted he be arrested. And so they marched him into the courthouse. So you've got Tom Mitchell defending my dad. Both of these guys are lawyers in front of Dark Hogswell. And I don't know that it went very well for the police officer that day. So you don't have to have your papers. You don't have to carry ID. You do. This is a new law. The law used to be, if I went into the bar, I didn't have any ID and the bar didn't care, then it's not a problem. Well, apparently now police officers can ask you for your ID in the bar, which is silly, but I mean, they just need to stay out of the bar. Too much fun going on in there for those sticks in the mud. So that's what a stop and frisk is. The first part of it's a two-part test. One is, was there legitimate, reasonable suspicion to stop the person? Was there something about them, like a guy wearing a long rider jacket made of leather in the middle of summer who walks into a bank? Yeah, you've got some reason to think there's something under the jacket. That's a reasonable suspicion. The cops would be totally justified in walking up and saying, hey, man, what's going on? Care if I pat you down? Beyond, you know, something that obvious, again, you're into mishmashy land. But once the stop is deemed legal, the frisk is automatic. I mean, it's that's all for officer protection. I don't have a problem with that. But when you, it is, you know, they're trying to do their job and we're trying to protect your rights. And we both have legitimate goals. But, I mean, some of the stuff you see in police reports, like I reached down and patted him and felt like a knife. It turned out to be a marijuana pipe, which, you know, whatever. So, anyway, I don't do a lot of criminal law anymore because I like, you know, having a chance, reasonable chance to win. I don't want to even sound like a negative Nelly here, but generally with criminal law, where there's smoke, there's fire, meaning that probably the person is guilty. Every criminal case I've ever won, it's been on what I just told you about, which is the law enforcement not following proper criminal procedure. That's really the only way you do generally win. I mean, you can win going to trial. You can win with a jury. My wife just handled or didn't handle, but her boss handled a case up in Bonner's Ferry, that guy who he says he shot his wife because she was trying to shoot him, and then he burned down the house, and then she tried to shoot him again. And then in the middle of all this smoke, he managed to put a round right between her eyes, even though he couldn't see where she was, and he's a special forces dude. So you're kind of going, your story's sounding a little bit thin, but there was somebody on the jury who just said, well, I just couldn't convict him. Well, did you think he did it? Yeah. Well, then that's why I don't like juries. It's like, you know, might as well write jury instructions on toilet paper because that's all they're good for. You know, if my client's going to get hosed, I want to know why. A jury can just do anything. I mean, not anything. If you say, I want $1 million in damages and they give me two, well, the court's just going to reduce it down to one. But as far as to what they think, what they do, what's going on in there, you can't get into it. You can't say they did something wrong. I mean, once they decide something, you're just absolutely hosed. And there's a few exceptions, you know, if you can find that somebody was biased or something nonsense. But for the most part, a jury rules and that's just the end of it. Reasonable suspicion for the stop is the totality of the circumstances. Now that tells you right there what I'm talking about as far as there is no bright line rule. You know, a guy with a long rider jacket versus a guy who's wearing Tommy Bahamas in the middle of winter downtown. One guy you think's going to rob the bank, the other guy you think's probably publicly intoxicated, one or the other. What else is I going to tell you about that? Oh, yes, and you should know this, that once the officer has determined that you don't have any weapons on you, well, then they can't do anything, any more searching on you after that. Now, if the length of how long they stop you will determine whether or not that turns into an arrest. And whether or not something is an arrest is whether or not the defendant thought they were reasonably free to leave. Which nobody ever thinks that, but they create. I mean, so if you're sitting there and the cop's behind you with his rollers on, you don't reasonably think you're free to leave. So that's an arrest. But then they say, no, that's just a stop for reasonable suspicion. It's not reasonable suspicion. You pegged me going 45 and a 35. I mean, you've already got your evidence. What else are you after? That's why they come up with these other rules to get around this stuff. Plain view seizure. And third parties who live with you. If you have, even if you don't live with you, if they're just there and the cop comes on the door and says, hey, you care if we search your house, and they let them in, you're going to be in trouble. If they live there, it's even more so. Now, if they live there with you and you lock your door, well, then you're still okay. They have to get a warrant to get into that door. I was going to say one more thing about the stop thing that I wanted to make sure I told you about, and now I don't remember what it was. Oh, yes. If they stop you and they tell you why, and then they start asking you about other stuff, you just leave. And don't talk back to them. Just say, you stopped me and asked me about that. That's a different subject. I'm leaving. Because generally, the reason they stop you, they're going to have to ask you something related to why they stopped you. Well, if they basically, in Sandpoint especially, all the police officers know who everybody is. So if they come up with some reason to pull you over or to stop you on the street and chat you up about something they think you did, they're going to. You just have to understand your rights. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any. And again, this outline that I created in law school is 110 pages long. So there's a lot of information here. I guess we could go back to my first advice. Don't break the law and you won't have to worry about it. Anyway, we're coming up on our last break. This is Common Law. I am your host, Arthur Beislein, and we'll be right back.
Spring has begun to poke its head out from below the ice and snow piles, and we just can't help but embrace the new season. Planting seeds are in stock at Winter Ridge, and we are thrilled to welcome Idaho-grown Snake River Co-op seeds. Our fresh departments at Winter Ridge are brimming with bright and delicious offerings. The grocery and chill departments are dusting off the cobwebs of the winter and making way for some new and exciting arrivals. Winter Ridge, your community choice for local, natural, and delicious at the corner of Lake and Boyer and Sandpoint.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.com.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like frames. Because you found a classic 70s concert poster. But when you went to get it framed, you realized the frame will cost about four times the amount of the poster. Which is actually absurd, because no one will be looking at the frame, and if they are, then you severely overestimated how cool this poster is. But then you remember by switching your home and auto to Progressive, you could save hundreds and put it towards a classic 70s concert poster in an absurdly overpriced frame. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
These days, figuring out what, where, and how to watch TV is out of control. And so is the cost. That's why I'm psyched I found Philo. Live TV from A&E, Discovery, MTV, and all the channels I love. A huge library of movies and shows. And an unlimited DVR to save them. I also get AMC Plus and all their blockbuster hits. All this for just $28 a month when you sign up at philo.tv. Give it a try, risk-free, at philo.tv.
North Idaho's radio, News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. We've been talking about criminal procedure, and I'm just flipping through my outline here, and it reminded me of something that I wanted to tell you about. Roadblocks. We can't do roadblocks. There's apparently a Michigan state case that says they might be okay, but for the most part, you can't just stop people for no reason. And I bring it up because over the years, I've seen, like, coming back from Washington, this was before Washington decriminalized marijuana, they would have these big signs on the freeway that said, ooh, drug checkpoint ahead. Well, they didn't stop you. They just waited for the people that panicked and crossed the median to go the other way. And then they arrested them for crossing the median and then searched their car. So if you see that, you don't have to stop. I mean, if they got a roadblock up and they try to make you stop, you know, don't run over the roadblock or the police officers or anything else, but don't roll down your window. And if you do, just roll it down and say, you don't have any, what's your probable cause or even reasonable suspicion to pull me over? And on that note, you know, they can't just pull you over and say, I want to check your brakes. You know, make sure you got good brakes. And I want to check the tread on your tire. And, you know, I don't know if all your systems are working correctly. So I just want to have a look. Well, we all know they can't do that. So then tell me, why is it that the sheriff can get on your boat and do just that? They can't. So if you don't like them doing that, just tell them, no, you can't get on my boat. I do not consent. Go away. And then they'll say, oh, we're the Coast Guard. No, you're not. The Coast Guard, like INS, Immigration Nationalization Service, all these rules don't apply to them. Because, you know, the Coast Guard's guarding the coast. INS is guarding the other boundary up above and below. So the rules don't apply to them. So what the Monterey County Sheriff's trying to do is say, well, we're the auxiliary Coast Guard, so we don't have to follow the rules, which is complete rubbish. And, you know, I'm all for safety and stuff, but I was over at the boat launch in Hope a few years ago when this nice little Mennonite family was trying to take out their little boat for a cruise. And the police wouldn't, they consented to the cops going through their boat. And they said, well, you don't have a ring, you know, like a big floaty ring, like you see in the movies. Yeah, well, you don't have one, so you can't go out. Literally. They had life jackets and everything else. They didn't have a floaty ring. And I heard all this and I'm like, okay, one, folks, don't ever let them on your boat again. Two, I happened to have one over here. I just went and got it and gave it to them. And then, you know, the cops, of course, didn't like me telling the people their rights, because they generally don't. But keep that in mind. That drives me nuts when they think they have the right to get on your boat and search it and blah, blah, blah. If you can't do that in a car, which is a heck of a lot more dangerous than a boat, then why can you do it on a boat? They can't. Just like they can't make you replace the sidewalks in front of your house just because you did a remodel. Again, anybody comes up against that, give me a call. We'll write them a letter, and I won't charge you. To say, you know, I'll go get a writ of mandamus for the certificate of occupancy and you'll pay my fees for having to do so, because you can't make my client build public works. That's what you use taxes for. Oh, I know, we can't say taxes in Idaho. They're all bad, even though this stuff costs money to run, folks. And they'd be a lot less bad if, like, corporations and stuff paid their fair share, which they don't. And again, sorry, I got to come back to it, but if you guys are not paying attention to what Trump's doing, he's going to give another huge corporate tax break, and he's going to cut away all your programs. He knows he can't really get rid of Social Security, but he's going to get rid of everybody who runs it. So if functionally, you won't have it anymore. I mean, that's their whole goal, is to get rid of all government so they can do whatever they want. And a good example of why businesses can't do whatever they want would be what I've told you before, is the railroads used to put all the sleeper cars with the heads towards the front because dead men couldn't sue. So they passed a statute that said dead men can sue. That's the kind of stuff business people will do if you leave them unchecked. They will absolutely do that. And people, you know, like to think that they won't, but, like, who knows what Musk and Trump are scheming up here. And incidentally, Musk is a Nazi. And if you don't, do you know why his dad moved to South Africa? Because it was South Africa. You don't tell me that you grow up with somebody who moved there because they liked their political system and none of that rubbed off on you, and then you do your little neo-Nazi salute at some rally thing. It just makes me sick that anybody would possibly think this is okay. Most people apparently don't. I love watching his stock. Talk about tanking. I'm sure he'll be eating macaroni and cheese because he doesn't have any money. And I don't, of course, don't like that, you know, people burning Teslas and vandalizing Tesla dealers and yada. I mean, that's not, you know, it's just people trying to make a living. You know, if you want to do something, then demand that your representative get Trump under control. Oh, you can't, because they won't show up to a town hall. And then that's, they are hosed at the midterms. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I think it would be like my biggest birthday present ever if they got super majorities in both House and the Senate, and they could do whatever they want and watch crybaby sit over there and pout and throw baby fits about whatever. Anyway, I know that's not criminal procedure, but I shouldn't watch the news, because everything that comes out of that man's mouth is just unbelievable. Oh, wiretapping. Ooh, that's a good subject. Again, probable cause. You do have what we call I think they're called Pfizer warrants, where they don't have to, like, disclose stuff. I don't know how that works. It all came up after 9/11 when we decided we didn't want any more freedom. We'd rather kill terrorists than have freedom. The exclusionary rule, that's the rule that I talked about when I got the blood test thrown out. That is a judicial-made law that basically says if you break the rules getting the evidence, you don't get to use the evidence. That's the same thing with Miranda. You didn't Mirandize him and he told you he did it, you don't get to use that. Now, the fact that he was covered in blood and has a huge 8-inch butcher knife in his hand, you can use that. It's just not what he said after you arrested him. That's an interesting, as long as we're talking about it, the grand jury versus a criminal indictment. I know I've talked to, people have asked me many times, friends and clients, about what's the grand jury and how does that work? Well, when you start a criminal proceeding, a felony anyway, you do one of two things. You can write a complaint that says, we think this person did this. And then you go to a preliminary hearing that's called in front of a magistrate where the state puts on their evidence of why they think maybe this person did this. And that the standard is probable cause. So if the magistrate determines, yeah, there probably is probable cause to think this person committed this felony, then an information is issued. The information itself is just the same as the complaint. It's just called something different. And maybe has a little more detail in it, but it is the charging document. That's when you're actually charged, is when that comes out. Now, a grand jury, they skip the whole complaint process. They go to the grand jury with their evidence, and they ask the grand jury to determine if there's probable cause. That's why with all this stuff with Trump, all of his indictments were grand jury indictments, because the prosecutor can say, hey, I didn't, you know, they decided that this was something that, you know, we should do. Granted, the defense is not there, but still, you know, you're not putting on a defense of a case. All you're saying is, here's what we have. This looks like he did it. And if they say, yeah, that looks like he did it, well, okay, then you charge him with, and if that's when you get the indictment. Now, why they use different names for all this stuff, I think it's to keep people like me in business. I don't know. An indictment and information are exactly the same thing with different names. The indictment is the charging document that comes from the grand jury. And so, you know, the fact that the grand jury thought maybe Trump did all this stuff doesn't mean anything to me. It just means that there's probable cause to think that he did. That's why they say you can indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury, because there's no defense being put on. Well, that's not what they're there to do. They're just asking, what evidence do you have? We don't care what their evidence is, because we're not deciding anything. All we're deciding is a very low, low bar called probable cause. Good faith mistakes by law enforcement don't generally get them very far. Like, for example, when Trump was rounding up people from the Kootenai tribe because they were brown to ship them away. Why didn't anybody sue him? I mean, I would. You don't have a good faith mistake of picking me up because I'm brown. I mean, that's what's going on, folks. This isn't me making things up. I know fake news. It's all fake news. I can't wait until one of these guys he shipped off to Colombia gets out of jail and comes back here and sues him, which I would. So you don't have, just because you're on our soil and maybe you're not a citizen doesn't mean you don't have any rights. Because if you don't have any rights, then how do we determine if you are or are not or should not be here? I mean, and if they're saying these guys are all gang members, well, shouldn't they have the opportunity to say, no, I'm not? Granted, I see the other side too. Well, you shouldn't be here in the first place because you didn't go through all the processes. Fine. I'm with that. But then you got to go one step back and go, why didn't this person, who obviously is a productive member of our society, go through all the processes to be allowed in correctly? Because it takes too long. I mean, you don't have 2.5 years to sit in some holding place on the border between Mexico and the United States. That all this money this idiot's wasting on this show for you people should be put into hiring people to vet these immigrants. And they don't do that. He's like, I'll fix the problems by throwing them all out. All right, well, how are you going to fix the problem about a complete lack of any labor? I mean, what are you going to do about the kids that were born here? Oh, right, that's repeal an amendment to the Constitution with an executive order. The guy is a scumbag, people. He is a dirtball who cares not about you at all. This is all about him and his rich friends, and he's proven it to you. Look at what he's doing. He's throwing people out of our country to make you feel good about things while he is giving huge tax breaks to corporations and getting rid of all the regulations for all of his buddies. And I'm just thinking, I'm hoping that you all are figuring out, oh, yeah, so he is a jackass who says whatever he wants, and I like that. Well, you might have considered what his actual policies are, which are not to help you, unless you happen to be a millionaire, which I kind of suspect a lot of you out there listening in Radio Land are not millionaires. And even then, that's probably not even rich enough. You probably need to be multimillionaires before any of his stuff would really help you. So anyway, we're coming up at the end of our hour. Thank you for listening to me. I'm sorry about my Trump nonsense, but it's got to be said. Again, I'm a nice enough guy. If anybody ever think you want to discuss any of this further, give me a call. Well, I'll buy you a cup of coffee or a beer or whatever you want. Anyway, this is Common Law. I've been your host, Arthur Beislein, for this show, and I will be back next month, and you all have a good remainder of your March.